The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Guest was well on the way to retirement when Russia invaded Ukraine. He's just back from visiting parts of the war-torn country, and he has a sense of how comprehensive the rebuilding process will be once the dust settles. John O'Connor is founder of O'Connor International, and he plans to connect relevant Irish businesses with those in need of their services in Ukraine, and he's here in studio to tell me all about it. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, you headed off to Ukraine. Why?
I think curiosity, as much as anything else. I felt in my gut that I could probably offer something to help with the rebuilding, but it was one of those things I wanted to see with my own eyes and to feel. I think there's been great reporting on the situation. I mean, war correspondents, along with geologists, are some of the bravest people in the world. But there's nothing like being able to go yourself and get a feeling for the if you like, the moral fibre of the people. Yeah. Politicians come and go, but some of the stuff I'm looking at has got a 20 or 30 year timeline.
So, now the business that you're normally in, you have a stud farm, so you're into horses and horses of the highest quality. So you indulged in a bit of mission creep while you were there. You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't. No, I went down. I mean, my background has been in the aerospace business and particularly air traffic control systems around the world. I'm into mining and natural resources, but I'd pretty well retired. And so I went on the basis to have a look to see what could be done to help rebuild Ukraine. But when I was there, I noticed the sterling work that's going on. They've got on the hippodrome there, they've got about 250 horses still that need to be fed, and the horses don't know there's a war going on. So I went to have a look there and to see what I could do to help out in that situation, draw some attention to it and raise some funding for it.
Yeah, and you sent me some video of it. I got it indirectly, and it's a pristine operation.
Yeah, they're working very hard. I mean, it's under very difficult situation. Funny enough, it's like a little haven. You go into this, I don't know how big the hippodrome is, 50 or 60 acres, and there's all kinds of hustle and bustle outside. But you go inside and, you could be anywhere in Ireland. It's quiet and tranquil, and people are doing all the normal things with horses that you'd normally see.
Now, how was the rest of Kiev? Were you conscious everywhere you looked that there was a war going on? Or are people striving successfully to kind of get on with things?
Yeah, there are people that do, I think striving is a good word. Things like the air raid sirens going off at night, I mean, they keep you informed of where they are. They remind you. Going up north to places like Bucha, which I did, the desolation is extreme there, up near the border with Belarus. It's, what happened there is disgraceful.
Effectively, what is a resort town almost was decimated by
that. Yeah, absolutely. Those kind of things bring it home. But I think you talk about people striving to get on with their lives. What impressed me, I mean, it's a hard place to get into. It takes 2 days to get in. There's a 14-hour train journey at the end of it. And what really impressed me, and I was in the very last cabin on the top bunk. About 45 minutes before we got into Kyiv, people started bustling around. And I thought, what's going on here? And what they were starting to do was clean the train. The passengers,
my goodness,
picking up any litter. Oh, there wasn't any, their own litter, folding the bedclothes away, putting the laundry and stuff into laundry bags. And by the time we got into Kyiv, the train was immaculate. Then you get off the train and you're on the edge of a war zone. The streets are immaculate. Nobody throws litter onto the street. So these people have a genuine, deep felt pride and love of their country, not this kind of badge kissing, fist pumping. It's deep, it's meaningful, and that's why they're being so hard to overcome.
You have set up an organization called Ukraine Nua, New Ukraine, yeah. Oskailga. What is it designed to do?
So the idea is that will act as a business bureau for Irish companies predominantly, Although, funnily enough, the first company in will probably be an Argentine one, which has got a lot of Irish investors in the biofuel area. But it's to act as a bureau. It's quite difficult to set up in Ukraine now. And it's okay if you're one of the really, really big boys. Mm-hmm. You can go in and you can get organised and sit there for a couple of years without any deal flow and just eat the costs. But if you're a mid-sized company, that's hard to do, and there's quite a lot of bureaucracy. So what we're offering is a one-stop shop. So you want to take part in this restoration, but you don't, and you want to be there now because the Ukrainians will be aware of who's there now and who are the Johnny-come-latelys who turn up when it's safe to do so.
Yeah, to cash in when the international funds start flowing.
That's right. So I think it's important to be there now. So the way I'm backing that up is by setting up this bureau, and for me to be at the front of the queue pulling as opposed to at the back of the queue pushing, and to bring people in behind me that I think have something to offer.
Now, where do you see the greatest need and the greatest opportunity? Because you've talked about this is not a two-year job, this is a two-decade job.
Yeah. I think some of the things that have come to me that I hadn't really thought about, food security. They export a lot of raw material and probably import too much finished goods on the food side. They need to become more self-sufficient. So I think there are opportunities for Irish companies in the quite short term. All of the infrastructure needs to be rebuilt, whether that's energy, communications, hotels. That needs to be rebuilt. I've heard one of your previous guests, you know, we're talking about shortages of road fuel. Ukraine is a big producer of soya, but it's not making any diesel from soya-based oil, crude, as they do in Argentina. So we're going to bring in Argentine capability in that field to show how they could quite easily reduce their diesel requirement. But that's going to take 2 or 3 years.
Now, you maintain that the 30,000 Ukrainian refugees here will have a valuable contribution to make to Ireland, not just by getting jobs here in the short term, but when they return home.
Yeah, I call them the 30,000 ambassadors because, you know, in Central and Eastern Europe, a lot of people don't know where Ireland is, and they get confused by Great Britain and Northern Ireland and Ireland and all that kind of thing. And, you know, why shouldn't they? A lot of us had to go rushing for our Google Maps to find out the difference between Budapest and Bucharest, didn't we? So a lot of people actually don't know where Ireland is, but every one of these 30,000 people that's received the Cade Mail of Vulture here or poked a slitter or kicked a ball or read some Irish poetry or had a good experience, you know, those 30,000 people will tell their families, and that's 300,000 people who will tell more people. So all of a sudden we've got millions of people who will have a very positive feeling about Ireland. And so I think it's great to have these people. They don't want to stay. They want to go home.
Yeah. And they will go home, hopefully, when this war is over, with whatever kind of peace deal is cut, whatever is done. It's got to be secure for the Ukrainians, lest Putin or his successor just revs up the engine again and comes at them a second time.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I know you reviewed Ronan McCreevy's book last week, you know, about the Civil War, and my desperate hope is we don't end up with some kind of solution to this that effectively creates a pro-treaty and anti-treaty side in Ukraine. And I think the investment in infrastructure that the EU have to put in and the United States have to put in, because the Ukrainians are fighting our war for us. Putin's right about that. This is a proxy war, except they didn't start it, as he's suggesting. You know, they're taking one for the team in Ukraine, and we have to be prepared to stand up for them and to rebuild their economy. And when we rebuild hospitals, they have to be rebuilt not to the old Soviet standards that were knocked down, but to, you know, the very same as if they were being built in Dublin. That's the least we can do for them.
Finally, John, how do people get in touch with Ukraine Nua?
Well, we've got one of these things called a website coming up. I'm not very good at the technology, but we've got that, and I think a Facebook page, and what's the other one? What's
the Instagram? Probably
no, not Instagram. The
Twitter.
It's not Twitter. I've had a block.
We'll find it one way or the other.
Ukraine Newer, and you'll find me.
Ukraine Newer. Yeah, all right. We will find it, and we will put it on our website.
Yeah, sorry about that last bit. Yeah.
No problems, John. Okay. John, thank you very much for joining us in studio today. John O'Connor, founder of O'Connor International, stud farmer, and also the founder of Ukraine Newer, which may get Irish business involved in the reconstruction of that valiant nation. John, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.